Let's turn now to the Word of God this morning, and I'd like to read for our scripture lesson this morning the 55th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. I'd like to read this entire chapter. It speaks of the compassion of the Lord, although our focus will be primarily on the invitation of our Lord this morning to come to the waters. So let's listen then to the holy and inspired, infallible word of our God in Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Now I'll make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and the nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So far the reading of God's holy word this morning. What a beautiful passage. Many, many wonderful texts here, but we're going to be focusing on verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. May God add his blessing to the reading and also to the proclamation of his word this morning. The prophet Isaiah, people of God, has often been called the evangelist of the Old Testament. An evangelist, as you know, is one who proclaims good news, for which the biblical term is the gospel. And certainly the gospel is rich in the prophecy of Isaiah. Even though he lived over 7 centuries before the birth of Christ, Isaiah proclaimed the good news of the coming and the life and the death of the Savior in what are surely some of the greatest messianic prophecies that we have in the Old Testament. One of those prophecies, well known to you, I'm sure, is found just 2 chapters before the one from which we read this morning, Isaiah 53, which movingly describes the atoning suffering of our Savior, as the man who was despised and rejected of men, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and was wounded for our transgressions, and was bruised for our iniquities. And then the chapter after that, Isaiah 54, Isaiah predicts the future blessings and glory that God gives to Zion, his chosen people, which again have been fulfilled in Christ, blessings which would be experienced in the New Testament age by God's Zion today, the church. But now in Isaiah 55, which I just read, God issues a beautiful invitation. Because you see, it is never enough simply to know the facts and the truths of the gospel. But in order for anyone to receive God's salvation blessings, he must do something. He must come to God. He must come to Christ. He must come to the waters of grace that God has provided through his Son. And so in our text, God through Isaiah exhorts those who have heard the gospel, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. and you who has no money, come buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Let me briefly reflect on this great text of Scripture this morning, a morning in which God also invites us to come to the communion table of His Son to eat and to drink. Although God is not specifically referring to the Lord's Supper in our text, what He says there certainly is symbolized in the sacrament of which we will shortly partake. Because what is God talking about in our text? He's talking about the blessing of salvation. In fact, He's talking about all the blessings of His grace, which are ours in Christ. And He invites us to come and to enjoy these blessings, which Christ has earned for us by His death. And God issues His invitation then in the form of a graphic picture. He says to us, come to the waters. It reminds me oftentimes of our time in the city of Randolph, Wisconsin, where I previously served a church. It's a city that has quite a few Lutherans in it, and members especially who belong to the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. The Lutherans call their denominations synods. You may have heard about the Missouri Synod. It's a conservative branch of Lutherans, as are the Wisconsin Synod. But members of that Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod like to use a little acronym for their name, and it is WELS. Just like you and I shorten the name of the United Reformed Churches to URC. And so on their church signs, they would typically have or post an invitation saying, come to the WELS. And it always caught my attention when I drove past those churches. It sounded so good. That's what God is saying to us this morning. Come to the WELS. Come to the waters and drink of my life-giving stream. What He's talking about, again, as I indicated, are all the blessings of salvation in the broadest sense of that term. But before I say more about those blessings of salvation, let's note that in our text, God places a double requirement upon those who wish to come to those waters or partake of those waters, after giving them a double requirement, in fact, then He follows with offering them a triple blessing to those who respond to that invitation. So as to the requirements for coming, note first of all, who's invited here to come? Who may buy and eat from the table God sets before us? And we'll listen as our text begins, come everyone who thirsts. That's the first requirement. We must come thirsty. Now, why does God say that? Why is that necessary? Well, because only those who have a true desire to receive God's spiritual blessings will profit from them and be blessed by them. You all know that thirst is one of the strongest cravings that our bodies have, and that arises from one of the greatest needs that our bodies have, a need for water. But unless we are thirsty, why would you drink anything at all to quench our thirst? When you're not thirsty, it's usually because your body senses no need. You have no urge to drink and be satisfied. And you see, that's true spiritually as well. If our souls are not thirsty, it means we have no real desire to receive the salvation blessings God offers. We sense no urgent need for them. You all have heard the proverb, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That horse has to be thirsty to drink. Well, we need to be thirsty also to drink. If we sense no deep need for Christ, our souls will not be filled or satisfied. The person who is self-satisfied and spiritually indifferent must first be thirsty and come to the point where he realizes that he needs a Savior. And you know that thirst must continue to be there in us also after we are saved. In fact, I think that's probably the hardest part about being a Christian, to always be thirsty, to always long again for God's saving blessings, to always thirst for His Word, to always thirst for worship, to always thirst for speaking with God in prayer, to always thirst for the Lord's Supper in remembrance of our Savior's death. And you know why often we don't have that thirst for God's waters as we should? Well, verse 2 in Isaiah 55 gives the answer. God says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" He's referring there to the constant appeal for earthly things which the world dangles before us. Material things or earthly pleasures for which people spend all kinds of money and time to satisfy their temporal and even sinful desires. But in the end, it really leaves them unfilled, unsatisfied. Yes, Satan likes to offer competition for the waters that God provides. The sinful nature also still within us continually tugs in us to find our enjoyment and delight in the things and activities and pursuits that satisfy only our earthly desires and wants. And so what do we need? We need the Holy Spirit to keep us thirsty for the waters of God's blessings. Is your soul thirsty this morning for God? Are you longing to be here to worship God? Is this not just a routine act? Or worse, are you only here because it is expected of you to be here? Did you say to yourself this morning, as you came here or before you came here, "Oh, wonderful, we're having Lord's Supper this morning. I'm eager to remember and to celebrate what Christ has done for me"? Or did some of you perhaps think, it's going to be a long service this morning? To come to the waters of God's gracious blessings, we first need to be thirsty. And the second requirement is that we need to come empty. Because listen again to what God says in our text. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And he who has no money. Now that's strange. How can we buy without money? To buy normally requires money. In fact, that's what it means to buy. But God says, when you come to me, you have to come without money. But you see, that's precisely the blessing and the wonder of salvation. It is purely a gift. God offers us in Christ a gift which cannot be bought with anything that we might offer him. Yes, the reason is very simple. We have no money. We have nothing to give to God by which we can obtain his saving grace. We must always realize that. We must come to God penniless, empty, before he will give us salvation. "Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling." That's the story of redemption. We cannot buy redemption by our life and deeds, for none of our deeds are worthy in his sight. So we must come to the waters without money. And yet, at the same time, we must also realize that the waters of salvation are not cheap. They did have to be bought. In fact, what God offers us was purchased at a tremendous cost, an infinite price. The price of Christ's own precious blood. It was paid for by God himself when he gave us his only begotten Son to die on the cross and there endure for us the full wrath of God for our sins. That was the price of the waters of salvation. A price we can never pay or have paid by ourselves, so God's own Son paid it for us. Hence, we must come to the waters in a spirit of humble acceptance, an acceptance exercised by a total faith in Christ alone for our salvation. We must not come to pay, but we come to receive without money. And so there you have the two requirements for those whom God invites to come to the waters, and come by and eat. First, come thirsty. Second, come empty. Is that how you are coming to the table of the Lord's Supper this morning? To remember and to receive by faith the blessing of what Christ has done for your salvation? Well, if that is your soul's desire, if you're thirsty for that, then you can expect to receive a great blessing today. In fact, it is a triple blessing. Because salvation, you see, is a big package. And there's not just one gift in that package, but when you open it, many things. And that brings me then to our second main point this morning. As our text describes or pictures for us, three salvation blessings that God offers us to those who come to Him thirsty and empty. Just listen once more to the striking and graphic words Isaiah uses for God's invitation. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now notice that the gift of salvation is described here as being water, wine, and milk. First, God has water for us. He has come to the waters. What a precious commodity water is, as we all know. It has many uses. We can't begin to enumerate them. But thinking again only of our bodies, we cannot live without it for very long. We can live without eating food for some time. We cannot live long without water for our bodies. Water gives us life. It gives us refreshment. And the same, you see, is true of God's salvation. Like water, it gives us spiritual life and refreshment. You remember what our Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well who offered him water to drink from that well? But Jesus told her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Yes, the words of salvation give us the blessing of eternal life. Jesus put it like this in John 6, verse 53. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And the Jews who heard that, who heard Jesus say this, couldn't understand what he meant. Even Jesus' own disciples said, this is a hard saying. But they took it literally, you see. But of course, he meant it spiritually. The blood of Christ is the water of life for the believer. And when you and I drink the grape juice of the Lord's Supper this morning, we're symbolically, we are spiritually drinking His blood. That is, believing that His shed blood, shed for us on the cross, has fully paid for our sins and has given us eternal life. So come to the waters of His blood. And then God compares also salvation here to the blessing, the salvation blessing here to wine. He says, come, he says, buy wine and milk. Now wine is a symbol, a biblical symbol for joy and gladness. In Psalm 104, we read that wine gladdens the heart of man. When there was feasting and celebration, like at Israel's festivals, or at weddings, like the one Christ attended at Cana, wine was commonly served, as it still is often served some weddings today. Now, we realize, of course, that people can misuse wine. They can overindulge in it and not be able to control their drinking. Then it becomes a problem. Then it does not give happiness or delight, but then it yields destruction. However, like wine that is properly used, salvation gives joy to the heart. And that's another blessing of salvation. We can have joy when we worship God, when we sing His praise. He gives us joy. When we serve Him in our lives each day, we come to experience the joy of God. A joy that can never be taken away from us, even in the midst of life's sorrows and trials. And likewise, people of God partaking of the Lord's Supper, yes, it is a sacred and solemn celebration that we do in the church. But let it also be a very joyful celebration. We're remembering, we're celebrating the greatest gift God has given to us, His own Son, and the salvation that He has earned for us that we might receive it. Do you remember what Jesus did and His disciples after they had celebrated the Passover, the Last Supper of Jesus, just before He died? What did they do after that? Scripture says they sung a hymn. We do not know what that hymn was. Most likely it was an Old Testament psalm. Maybe like Psalm 16, with its ending words, "You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Well, after celebrating communion this morning, we will also sing a hymn of joy and thanksgiving to our Savior. Those who come to the waters of salvation and experience its blessing of life will then also experience the wine of everlasting joy. And then thirdly, when we come to God and heed His invitation indeed to come to the waters, He also encourages us to buy milk. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now why milk? Well, milk, as you probably know, is a biblical metaphor for spiritual nourishment and growth. We all always encourage our little children to drink their milk. It's good for their bones. It will help them to grow strong. And the same, you see, is true with God's salvation. That too provides the nourishment, the strength we need to mature in our faith and our love and our devotion to Christ. You probably know that God's Word is described as milk in Scripture. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation." God's Word is the primary means of grace for the Christian's spiritual growth. But the sacraments, which John Calvin liked to call the visible Word, have the same purpose and benefit. They too nurture and fortify our faith. They too help us to grow stronger in our love for Christ and unite us more deeply with Him. The form of communion, which we'll read in just a moment, has this statement in it: Christ gives us His life-giving Spirit, through whom the body and blood of our Lord become the life-giving nourishment of our souls. Yes, we need to be nourished by the Spirit, and will be when we partake of the Lord's Supper in faith, so that we can leave God's house here this morning refreshed, renewed, fed, and nourished in our souls, as we have met with Christ around His table. So let us heed God's invitation this morning. Come to the waters, buy and eat, without money and without price, but by faith in Christ alone, and you'll receive salvation's life, salvation's joy, and salvation's nourishment. And your soul will be satisfied. How can we respond to that magnificent invitation by saying, "O Lamb of God, I come"? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You for reminding us again of that beautiful invitation that we have received from You. And we pray that we may then have listened to Your invitation, not only, but also received it in our hearts. Rejoice to have received it and also responding to it with faith and desire, longing once again to be fed by your Spirit and by your Word, and by Christ Himself to enjoy even more fully the blessings of His salvation. In that spirit, Lord God, bless us as we then continue to worship You and also celebrate the death of our blessed Lord in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In His name do we pray this. Amen.